Cross of Christ, it's great to be with you this morning. For those of you who do not know who I am Daniel Brummett. I am a second-year seminary student down at St. Louis Seminary. And yes, I am named after your pastor, Dan Flynn. Dan and I have a great relationship. I really love enjoy coming here to preach to you guys every year. What some of you may not know is that your church has sponsored me for the last 6 years as a ministry student and have given me a scholarship to go to school. And so what I want to begin by saying is thank you, because you are an immense blessing to me, and your blessing is going to go towards the future of the church. So thank you. And so as we begin, thank you. As we begin today, I want to start with a word of prayer, so if you'll join me. Heavenly Father, speak through your servant this morning the truth. Open our ears to hear your words, open our hearts to receive your grace, and open our eyes to see you for who you are. It's in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. 86 years ago, the Second Continental Congress anonymously adopted a document that we call the Declaration of Independence. 246 years ago, a group of people got together to write a document that would be submitted to the government, the King of Great Britain, announcing that the colonies were officially separating from British rule. Now, if you know your American history, you know that it didn't just come just like that, right? Great Britain did not go down without a fight. No, the Revolutionary War lasted from April 19th, 1775, and it lasted until September 3rd. But on July 4th, 1776, a group of people were bold enough to write a document and submit it to a king declaring their own freedom. And now, look what we get to do, right? We get to have cookouts. And we get to have fun days at the lake gathered with friends and family. And not only do we get to shoot off fireworks for one day, but we get to shoot fireworks off for like 3 weeks. How many of you have lost sleep in the last 3 weeks because people are shooting off fireworks? I'm right there with you. You see, we are what we say, free. We're free. Just think for a moment. Raise your hand if you have heard the saying, "We live in a free country." Okay? Raise your hand if you've ever heard the saying, "Freedom isn't free." And some of you, you don't have to raise your hands for this, but some of you may not even feel that we're as free as the saying say we are. But what is freedom? What does that word mean? That's what this whole weekend is about, right? Freedom. While I was preparing for this sermon, I decided to Google that word to find a definition, because that's what naturally you do when you're trying to figure out what a word means. And I got these three definitions. Freedom is, one, the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Freedom is, two, the absence of subjection to foreign domination or government. And freedom is, three, the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. In our text today, Jesus talks about freedom. But the way Jesus talks about freedom is a little different than how we talk about freedom in our context in America. And so with that, let's dive into the context leading up to our reading today. We're going to back it up a little bit to start. And so in John 8, verse 12, Jesus starts by saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And the Pharisees question who Jesus is and how he has this authority to witness about himself without any other additional witnesses, as was Jewish custom. And so this whole conversation in John 8 is about who Jesus is. It's about his identity. And so these Pharisees are going back and forth with Jesus about his identity and his relationship with his father and their identity as descendants of Abraham. And Jesus finally says in verses 23 and 24, "You are from below, but I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. And I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now that's a pretty harsh reality to swallow, isn't it? You will die in your sins. And so naturally, the Jews are asking Jesus, who are you? Who is this guy? How does this guy have this authority to tell us these things? And so given the context, what do we know so far? We know that one, Jesus is the light of the world, and whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We know two, that Jesus is not of this world. And we know that three, those of this world will die in their sins unless they believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Those are the three points to start with. And so now we find ourselves in our text of today where Jesus begins by saying, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, that's really encouraging, right? If you hear what Jesus has to say, you're his disciples, and the truth will set you free. But what Jesus is saying here is we don't have to do anything specific. We don't have to perform some sort of action to be set free. No, all we have to do is hear what he says and hold to it and believe it. What Jesus is saying is that what he says is true. He is who he says he is, and that truth is what sets you free. But then it begs the question, what does it set you free from? And the Jewish people around him are asking the same question, and they're wrestling with this, and they say to Jesus, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Because for the Jewish people, they were expecting this Messiah, but their expectations were that this Messiah was going to be this military general. And I find this very ironic, because when you look at the history of Israel, time and time again, they're battling for their freedom, and they're consistently trying to be free, the Babylonians. The Roman Empire currently was taking over the land of Israel. It was worse to be a slave to the Roman Empire than to die in the eyes of the Jewish people. So I just find this ironic that they say, we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? But then Jesus kind of drops this truth bomb on them. And Jesus goes on to say, truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Truly, truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Now how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel, Cross of Christ? Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Now, sin is anything that is contradictory to God's will. Everything that is contradictory to God's will. And those who practice it are not free to make their own choices, because the curse of sin controls their thinking. And those who practice sin, when they're tempted, they fall. And what I find interesting about the word choice here is the word practice. Now, I played soccer growing up, and I also play piano, and in order to be better, you have to practice. When I want to play soccer well, I have to go to practice and run through drills time and time again. When I want to be better at piano, I have to run through my scales time and time again. And so when you practice something, you're not practicing something, it's not just like a one-time thing. It's a consistent, repetitive action. And so those who repetitively sin, they're a slave to sin. And so I want to ask you a hard question, or maybe a couple hard questions here. Have you ever done something that has disappointed someone else? Have you ever made a mistake? Have you ever failed? Have you ever done something that weighs on you because you knew or now know that it wasn't right? And how did it make you feel? How does it make you feel? I guarantee all of us have some sort of situation or a decision or some sort of action that they've done that is in their head right now that they're wrestling with. I know I have one. And what weighs on you is what we call guilt. That feeling you have inside over something you've done, we call that guilt. Because you feel bad about what you've done. And that guilt is a weight that hangs on you in your slavery. And unless we have a place to put it or to get rid of it, it hangs on us. And the longer it hangs on us, the heavier it feels, the more of a burden it becomes, because that guilt becomes our bondage. And the truth of the matter here is that we're all sinners, all of us. All of mankind is cursed by sin. Sin is the enemy that we battle within. Sin is what takes us captive and steals our freedom. And it rules over our hearts and minds, and Satan uses it to drive a wedge between us and our Creator, between us and our God. And he consistently tempts us into making decisions that go against God's will for our lives. Sin blindfolds us to the truth. But then we hear what Jesus has to say after this, and he ends with these words: the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son lasts forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will be free indeed. What Jesus is saying here is that everything that we pursue on earth has limits. Everything that we pursue here on earth is going to wash away. Our country may have won and held its independence for the last 246 years, but there's always a chance that our country can be invaded and being taken over by another country. That's a harsh reality. History has shown that time and time again through hundreds and thousands of civilizations. You can have it really good, and really quickly it can be taken away. And in the end, your social media content won't matter. In the end, your career won't matter. Your successes and your failures will not matter. But what will matter is where you put your trust and your faith. That's what's going to matter at the end. And this is why Jesus comes down to earth. He comes down to start this revolution, but not in the way that the Jewish people expected. He comes down to wage a war on the evil curse of sin, to wage a war on Satan himself. Jesus comes down to earth and takes on human flesh, suppressing his divinity, taking on our bondage, and entering the world as this humble child, only to grow up, to serve those around him, to be hated, to be mocked, to be beaten, to be betrayed, and to be crucified on a cross. But then he does the most amazing thing, and he resurrects from the dead. Jesus resurrects from the dead, and in his resurrection, he declares his identity, and who he is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah. And so he declares his identity, that he is God. He is greater than death itself, and Jesus' mission is to give us our freedom. And he comes so that we would know the truth, that he is the light of the world. He is the one who overcomes darkness. He is the living God in the flesh who came to take our punishment upon himself and die a death that we all deserve. And he rises again, defeating sin, defeating death, and defeating the devil, so that all who believe and hold him will rise again, because Jesus' victory is our victory. Jesus' victory is our victory. And so if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed forever. Forever. And it's not just this quick fix for the problem, right? It's not just this momentary solution. It's not this temporary thing. No, it's an eternal solution to our problem of sin. And it's a promise that lasts forever. You are free. You're free. We don't have to write a declaration of independence to God, and we don't have to write a declaration of independence to Satan. No. Jesus invites us to bring our sin to him. He asks us to come and bring our sin and our guilt and our shame and lay it at the foot of his cross. He says, "Let me take it." And when we do this, he promises to give us his grace by proclaiming our freedom in these three words: "You are forgiven." There is power in those three words. And the truth of this gospel is what sets you free. And it's a gift that only can be given and only can be found in Christ. And so, as we leave today, I want you to take these three things with you. The first is that when you're set free, it doesn't mean that sin's gone. We are going to wrestle with sin. The truth opens our eyes to what is good and what is right and what God's will is for us, but it doesn't mean that, poof, sin's gone. When you become a disciple of Christ, actually, the target on your back becomes bigger, and Satan's going to work harder and harder to pull you away from God and to drive a wedge in that relationship. He's going to tempt you and continue to try to work on you. And how many times do we talk about fighting for our country and for our freedom? How many times do we talk about fighting for our rights? But when we fight, we lose time and we lose energy because fighting is exhausting. And fighting, we can lose lives because it comes at a cost. And when we fight sin alone, we're going to lose every time. It's a battle we can't win. But with the truth, you can now make a choice. And the beautiful thing about the truth is that you're no longer fighting alone. Because you fight with the Son of God who overcame death and who gives you your freedom. And in the end, we are promised eternal peace in heaven. So when we face temptation, God calls us to lean into him and to cling to his words and his promises. Which brings me to the second part. The truth is an eternal invitation, and it's an eternal gift. I just said this before, that this promise lasts for forever. And when we fail, the truth of God's will is going to convict us. But it also invites us to repent and seek forgiveness where forgiveness is given. And this invitation doesn't have an expiration date. It's open 24/7, every day of the week, of every month, of every year, past, present, future, for all eternity of all time. And the beauty of God's grace is that it is never given in parts or little bits and pieces. When Jesus says, "You are forgiven," you're forgiven in whole. And it doesn't matter how big or small you messed up, the whole thing is forgiven. All of it. And all he does is invite us to ask for it. And the third part is, we're called to share this truth. It's not just news that's supposed to be between you and me. And it's not just a secret that's supposed to be between you and God. No, this truth is for all people. And when Jesus ascends, he calls his disciples to go and tell people the truth. And so it's our turn to share this truth with each other and with those who may not know it. We are called to proclaim the freedom that we have found in Christ. Because this is the truth of the gospel, that by holding to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God who died and rose again, your sins are forgiven. For if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.